Sudan. As you know, these two countries are bordering each other, and humanitarian-wise, it's not good at the moment. There are so people who have fled northern Sudan coming to Sudan, to South Sudan. And these people need humanitarian assistance, basic needs such as food, water, and shelter. South Sudan, where I come from, there's another news yesterday and this morning. There is an uprising of a certain tribe. In South Sudan, there are 64 tribes, and out of 64, there are two major big tribes in South Sudan. This is Dinka and Nuer. I am from Dinka, and the current government, the president, is from Dinka, but the vice president is from Nuer. And because of power struggling, there's a tension. So the president arrests the vice president. And because of that, the Nuer tribe rise up and they wanted to come to Juba, the capital city, to break the prison and take out the vice president. So after the north of South Sudan, the area around that place have been captured by this tribe and they are coming toward Juba. So keep South Sudan also in your prayer. Amen. Before we look to our passage today, I will be traveling to Africa in 2 weeks. I will stop in Nairobi with Rebecca and then to Juba in South Sudan. So remember me in your prayer. As I was preparing for my paperwork, the passport and the visa and all other things, I was told that today is available if you are free to preach. And I say, yes, I will preach today. So when I was preparing for my sermon, and I was getting ready for my visas and passport, this thing got into my mind. And I think most of you also have experienced this. When we travel, either domestic flight or international flight, you got to be asked by someone. And to be specific, I want to speak to you about international flight. So when you arrive at an airport, the first question you ask is very simple. Who are you? Who are you? The officer does not ask, how are you feeling? No. Or what your plan to do? Or where are you living or staying? Everything depends on your identity. Who are you? And one document answered everything. And that document is passport. When you present your passport, they will know who you are. They will know your date of birth and everything about you. So passport answered everything. John began his gospel in the same way. Before he tells us what Jesus did, what Jesus has done, or his big picture, John tells us who Jesus is. So I would like to share with you today, who is this son? Let me pray before we go into our passage. Lovely God, Father, we thank you for giving us opportunity to gather here today to worship you, to hear your word, and have a fellowship together. Father, I pray that you may open my eyes so that I may see where you wanted me to see. And Lord, I pray for our members, those who have come to church today, and those who will watch this online, open their ears and their mind of understanding, that they will understand this word. In Jesus' almighty name I pray. Amen. I also want to thank our media team, and mostly Labstream. When I look at YouTube the other day to see what had been preached, I saw my last 2 week sermon has been viewed by close to 100 people. Glory be to God. We mean the message of God is going out, not only here at Manengo, but it's going to the end of earth. So thank you, and you are doing good. So we'll begin with this, the internal word. But before we look at our first point of the sermon today, many people know about Jesus. Jesus is not new to you. many people know or heard about him. But John begins by telling us who Jesus truly is. Not just a baby at a manger. Not just a prophet or a teacher, like the way other people say. John takes us back before creation. And this is interesting. To show us that Jesus is God. He's the creator, he's the light, and a savior. This passage answered one big question. Who is Jesus? And why does it matter to us today? Our first point, the internal word. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." And then he continued in verse 2. "He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made." You know, the writing of John, the gospel, in John chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul, in his writing, also agree with this verse. And Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, "And he was," or "he is before all things." You know, Paul is referring to Jesus here in verse 17. "He is before all things. And in him all things hold together." So everything on earth, under earth, hold together because of him. John opened with the word "in the beginning." In the beginning. The same word used in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, we all know when you open our Bible. The first word in the Bible is "in the beginning." And the last word in the Bible is "amen." So we mean in the beginning, from point A to point Z, everything in hold together by our Lord Jesus. Because Bible said, and Jesus himself said, "I am Alpha and Omega." He is the beginning and the end. So he holds everything together. So Jesus is not created. He was there already. Secondly, before we go to next slide, I'm still in slide number 1, sorry for that. Secondly, Jesus is not secondary. He was there before the creation. And Jesus is eternal. So he is before all things. And him, all things hold together. Brothers and sisters, our faith is not built on ideas or traditional. Our faith is built on internal person, which is Jesus, our Lord. In the changing world, like I said, the story of the airport, you know, today in our time, you may choose not to speak to someone. And mostly when you travel in domestic flight, you may check in yourself, go through security, go to the gate, and then you fly. You don't need to talk to anyone because of technology is advancing. So the world is changing. The culture is shifting. Nations shake because of war and conflict. Families are struggling because of relationship issues and other sort of misunderstanding. But Christ remains the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So my brothers and sisters, if Jesus exists before all things, before all things, as Paul said, he can hold your life together, he can hold your family together, and hold your future together. This brings us to point number 2, the Word as a creator. We are still talking about the Word. At this point, John have not mentioned Jesus, so we are still focused on the Word. So the Word as a creator, we mean all things made through him, through this word. John chapter 1, verse 3. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, agree? The verses of John chapter 1, verse 3, and Genesis 1, verse 26, are the central to understand the relationship between God and humanity. These verses, they both affirm that all things were made through Jesus Christ, our Lord. John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1. through our Lord Jesus, who is the source of all creation. This means that everything in the universe, from the smallest things to the largest stars, to the suns and moon, was created by Jesus. The creation narrative in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, emphasizes that humans are made in the image of God. You and I, we are all made in the image of God. No matter your color is, no matter how tall or short you are made in the image of God. In the spirit, God is like you, and he is like me. This indicates to us that our unique relationship with God and our role as a steward of the universe or of creation is so important. He created you in his image and gave you responsibility to take care of the universe, the tree, the cat, the dog, everything, to take care of them. This concept was further supported by John, our reading today, verse 3, John chapter 1, which states that Jesus is the one through whom all things were made, affirming his divine nature and his centrality in creation. John tells us clearly, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus is not only our Savior, but he is also the Creator. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, I mentioned earlier, God said, let us make mankind in our image. So God was talking to his Son and the Holy Spirit in the time of creation. Creation itself points to the divine identity of Christ. So it's not a passport that tells who Jesus is. It is what John have said in John chapter 1. Divine identity of Christ. So brothers and sisters, if Jesus created you and me today as we gathered here in this church, or maybe those who will watch it online, this means that your life has a purpose. In Jeremiah, God himself said to Jeremiah that I have a plan for you, not to destroy you, but to give you hope and prosperity. So each one of us have a plan. As God said to Jeremiah, that I knew you even at the time when you were at your mother's womb. So God knows us, and there's a purpose for you and your life. You are seen even in your pain. Your existence is not an accident. Sometimes when we are overwhelmed by the situation, we do ask ourselves, where is God? Do God really love me? I want to tell you today, your existence is not an accident. Even when life feels broken and you feel like the Creator is far away from you, the Creator is able to restore you and serve you. Restore what he forms, because he's the one who formed you. He has the power and ability to restore you. This brings us to our point number 3. The light, the true light shining in the darkness. We are now in John chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5 of first chapter of John and Isaiah 9, verse 2. Agree, both convey the message of hope and light in the face of darkness. In verse 5 of John, John emphasized that Jesus Christ is the source of light, and light dispelling the darkness of spiritual death. Isaiah 9, verse 2. On the other hand, speak of the coming of the light that will illuminate the path of those who are in the darkness, symbolizing hope and deliverance. So both verses highlighted the transformative power of light. Light that brings clarity and hope to those who are in need. As John said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is in verse 5. Brothers and sisters, in the time of Isaiah, in chapter 9, verse 2, the people of Israel were in the darkness of war, of fear, of famine, of oppression. But God promised people of Israel through Isaiah that the light will come and this light will shine. In the time of John, John was referring to Jesus as a light that shined in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. So this is the great promises. The darkness not overcome it. So what is the darkness today? As we live here in Sydney, in Menengo and surrounding areas, what is our darkness? Our darkness, I believe, is not a war or a famine or lack of food. We have plenty of food. We've got a shelter to live. We've got plenty of water and clothes to wear. I believe our darkness today represents sin and fear of unknown. Our darkness today represent confusion, sickness, and death. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, chapter 2, and I will repeat, the people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. It is our time now. We have seen a great light. The darkness does not defeat light. Light overcome the darkness. And this is the great news. Some of us are walking through emotional darkness, family struggle, and spiritual confusion. But Christ does not wait for the darkness to disappear. This is the great news. Christ enters through it. The darkness may resist the light, but it cannot or it can never overcome it. So your sickness, your lonelessness, your emotional darkness may resist the light. But the great promise is that this darkness can never overcome it. So have hope and faith, knowing that light has come and this light will shine in your life. This brings us to point number 4. Children of God, receiving Christ by faith. John chapter 12 say, yet all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. The right to be called children of God. This is now a time to receive this son. Paul said in Galatians 3, in verse 26. Galatians 3, verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. So verse 12 of the first chapter of John and Galatians 3, verse 26, both emphasize that the transformative power of faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 12, it states that those who believe in Jesus are granted the right to become children of God. You are granted the right to become a child of God. So my brothers and sisters, you know, throughout the Bible, in many verses, we always found that there are people of God and children of God. People of God are everyone that God has created. They belong to God. Believers and non-believers, they are people of God. But what differentiate? I struggle to pronounce this word. So what separate us, the children of God, from people of God? It is faith and believing. Bible said, you are granted the right to become children of God. This is amazing. This highlights the new identity and privilege that come with the relationship with God. The privilege with new identity. Galatians 3, verse 26 states that all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation is not inherited. Salvation is received. And you receive by faith, as Paul said. You are all children of God through faith. Being God's child is about relationship, not religious. So as we all have our children or grandchildren, if you do not have relationship with your children, yes, they can be called children, but they are not real children. So what is real here is relationship. Relationship through faith. Some people write their wills when they pass to charity, to church, to government, although they have children, when there is no relationship with the children. So relationship is important for you to be a child of God and to inherit the right to be called child of God. It needs relationship from you. So now you become a new child, a new identity, a new person. God has become your father. Your past does not define you. What you have done, said, decision or choices in the past does not define you today as a new person. Your mistake do not disqualify you in this new family. Faith is in Christ give you a new identity, a new family, and a new future. So you're no longer an outsider. You belong to this beautiful family of God. Amen. Let's go to point number 5. The Word become flesh and dwell among us. What does that mean? John 14. The Word become flesh. John 1 verse 14. The Word become flesh and dwell among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John, at this point, is writing his own testimony because he was there. He had seen the glory. He had seen what Jesus had done. You know, when John, Peter, and Jesus went to the mountain in the time of transfiguration, their eyes were open and they have seen the glory of God. When they see Elijah, Moses, and Jesus together. You know what Peter said? Peter said to Jesus, Lord, can I build 3 tents so that both of us can stay on this mountain? One for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. This story resonates with my story when we travel by food from South Sudan to Kenya. Every time we stop in the desert, my father built tents for us to sleep in. So I believe Peter, when he said this to Jesus, he has seen the glory, the peaceful realms of God. And that's why he chose to stay on that mountain. So the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is Jesus. In incarnation, he has come as human to be born and live among us. John said, we have seen his glory and the glory of the one and the only Son. If we look at Matthew chapter 1 as well, verse 23, Matthew's message is that the Virgin Mary will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Emmanuel agree with what John say. Word become flesh and dwell among us. So Jesus is our Emmanuel. He has come to live among us. So my brothers and sisters, this is the heart of the gospel. The word become flesh and dwell among us. God did not send a messenger or just a message. God came himself. He came himself. They will call him Emmanuel, God with us. So Christianity is not about reaching to God. It is God coming to us, reaching out to us, and found us. At this point, my brothers and sisters, for those who are new in their faith, you have done well. God has found you. Build this relationship with your Father. For those who have been throughout their life in this journey, well done. As the Bible said, you have done well. So when we suffer, God is with us. God is with you. When you grieve, my brothers and sisters, God is near. He's not far away from you. When you feel alone, God has not left you. You know, Jesus understands human weakness because he lived among us. He suffered. He went hungry without food. He cried like us, so he understands our human suffering. This brings us to our conclusion. So who is this child? Do his identity be answered by the passport? No. He is the Word who was with God and was God. He is the Creator who stepped into creation, and he is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome. He is the Son who gave us the right to become children of God. Through Jesus, you and I, we are children of God. We are members of the big family of God. No matter your background is, no matter where you're from, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. He is the Word made flesh and still dwelling among us. So now, brothers and sisters, as we finish, the question is not, who is Jesus? The question is, have you received him? John 1 verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So today, when we go out from this church, the question will not be, who is Jesus? The question would be, have you received him? Amen. Let us pray.